We are going to discuss a key issue this week. A key issue that I've experienced in my lifetime, and I hope to avoid in my children's lifetime. And for those of you who are new, if you would like to see more of these podcasts, they can be found on Spotify, iTunes, or any podcasting app, as well as RavHirsch.org, under the title Judaism from Within. Out of all of Rav Hirsch's points on education that are derived from the Bible, this is one of the most famous. Now, often when you hear a story or a message or you learn something from a narrative portion in the Bible, it's often fairly abstract or it's very good. I'll explain what I mean. When we're learning about something to do with acts of kindness or ways of people acting that should inspire us to noble acts, we can look at Abraham, for example. How he welcomed strangers into his home, the ultimate expression of love and the expansion of the self. And when we're looking at things that we see Abraham not doing correctly, we talk about his lack of trust in God. And we're quite comfortable with these ways of speaking, because the good thing is something very grounded, and the negative thing is something very abstract, and thereby we're not attributing to him any ill action, we're attributing to him a lack of a good quality, like lack of trust. But in this week's parasha, we're going to take a small diversion from this classical way of speaking. But before we do so, I want to frame this in the correct light, because Rav Hirsch is very specific when he brings up these ideas. For Rav Hirsch, as I've mentioned many times before, it is absolutely essential that we as Jewish people stay true to the Bible and how it portrays our leaders and our ancestors. What I mean is that when it describes them with their faults, and it describes them in their errors, we are not supposed to shy away from this. We are supposed to embrace this. Why, you may ask? Because simply speaking, the only reason we hold these individuals up as being great men, our forefathers and our foremothers, is because they had the ability to fail. If they didn't have the ability to fail, there would be nothing to learn, because they would be demigods, in which case we would hold them up as some sort of abstract ideal, but nothing grounded, nothing to look at them and say, well, if they can act in this way, so can I, for the positive, because, well, I knew what they were battling against because I know what I'm battling against. In this week's parasha, Rav Hirsch begins by once again grounding his appreciation and his holding up of our forefathers and foremothers on a certain pedestal. We do look at them as the great men and women of old, and that comes with a huge amount of respect and reverence. But we have to hold in our minds at the same time that the only reason why we hold them up as being so great is because they had the ability to err. So with that framing in mind, let us begin. Let us put the background of the story on the table. We have Yitzchak and we have Rivka, waiting a long time for a child, and they are blessed with twins, later known as Esav and Yaakov, and the prophecy that was put forward to them was that the older one would serve the younger one. And this is the story of Esav and Yaakov, often characterized as the good brother and the bad brother. But this holds a lot of problems from a Jewish standpoint, because there's no such thing as people being born good and born bad. We have our natures, but they have to be developed, and how they are developed often plays a huge part in how we, as individuals, grow up. Now, when it comes to how we're developed, whose role is that? Rav Hirsch says the role of that is obviously going to be the parents. And we see here in this week's parasha almost a negative paradigm, a negative pattern of education that we should not be giving over to our children. As the Psukim put it, when they grew older, one was a hunter in the field and one sat in his tent. The Torah for Rav Hirsch, the Bible right now, is literally giving us the archetype of two types of students. One child who is comfortable sitting behind a desk, comfortable taking instruction, comfortable studying, comfortable revising, comfortable with the intellectual endeavor that is involved with keeping still. And the other one who is outgoing, the other one who is out in the field. These two types of children we often see in our society, often see in our children, often see as educators with our students. And Rav Hirsch says that when it came to this situation and why it's described as after they grew up, is because the parents here had the opportunity and the obligation to delve into the natures of both their children. Bringing up two children in the way of one, you are guaranteed to ruin one of them. As each child has a different nature, each child has a different way. and it is the obligation and the job of the parents to tap into that. The lesson to daily life from Ruth Hirsch is a cry out to parents that not to take the same example that we see here, to tap into the nature of the children when they are younger and develop them based off that nature and develop them based off that nature that you discover. Not to impose a nature, not to impose an image or a system onto a child that it is not his way. The term that he brings is Chanoich Na Api Darkoi from Shlomo HaMelech. Why? Because we have a way. We all of us have a certain pattern of being, a certain pattern, a certain nature. That is the job of the parent, not to impose a structure. Yes, there is a goal in the end. Yes, Yiddishkeit, yes, Judaism has a mission given over to us by Avram. But that goal at the very end, there will be multiple ways to achieve that goal. And that idea is validated. That idea of the multiple ways and the multiple approaches that are open on the table is validated by Yaakov later on with the 12 tribes. It's not incidental that there are 12 tribes that make up the Jewish people, not just one. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob are 12, and when he blessed them at the end of his life, he blessed them all with their natures and their weaknesses and their strengths taken into account, telling them that they all had their own way to go down. They all had their own way of achieving this ultimate mission and this ultimate goal. He didn't give one blessing to all of them and say to them, fit inside this mold. And as Rav Hirsch aptly puts it, he didn't look at all of them and say, you have to be like the Levim. He didn't look at them and all say, you have to be Kohanim. Kohanim being the moral educators, the spiritual uplifters of the Jewish people. They had their goal. They had their role. But he didn't look at the entirety of the Jewish people and say, fit into this mold. No, there were 12 potential ways, and each child took the one that reflected their nature, and Yaakov, as their father, tapped into that. Yaakov, as their father, appreciated that, and he articulated that in a blessing. Not just the Levi, not just the Kohen, the farmer, the king, the warrior, the merchant. So to recap this idea, Rav Hirsch is telling us that the imprinting a mold on a child where it is not his nature, thereby you have a Yaakov and you have an Esav, but if you only educate in the realm of Yaakov, you are guaranteed to destroy one of them. You are guaranteed to make a sacrifice along the way, and that is not the way of Jewish education. Jewish education, as validated by Yaakov, is that there are multiple paths that mirror the multiple personalities that the Almighty puts into this world. Yes, Esav would have had the more physical role of power in the relationship, and that power, as the prophecy said, should be put under the younger. If one is developing the spiritual side and one is developing the physical and materialistic side, then one should be put at the disposal of the other. But that's not talking about how individuals react to each other. That's not talking about which child had to obey the other. It's talking conceptually how each one's role was there to complement each other. But the role of the power and the role of the material is always put under the role of the spiritual and the moral, because that is what achieves the goal of what we're trying to do as the forebearers of the mission of Avraham. And Rav Hirsch says that had its way, that had its good manifestation in the world. But the method of education, the method of bringing both children up in the way of Yaakov, meant that the way of Esav would manifest itself and develop as not being a gibor, as it says, a strong one for Hashem, but rather for the field. Of course, this sounds like a cliché, and people often take clichés and ignore them, but that's the point. They're a cliché for a reason, and finding a cliché or something that's so often said, it has become a cliché. We find rooted in the Torah, we find rooted in the biblical narrative with the Jewish forefathers. We see this problem, we see this pattern live out all those thousands of years ago, and the danger and the destruction that it wrought. And this idea that parents want to imprint themselves onto their children, or this idea that a teacher wants the children to have his mold or his own conception of what a good child should be, we find it the whole time. Now, of course, schools are schools, and schools have to work with the resources they have. That is why being a teacher is one of the most dangerous jobs, because the responsibility is so massive. That is why it takes a profound mechanech, a profound educator, to really bring up their children according to their way. And yes, added challenges are there, fitting that into the framework of a classroom. But then again, that is why taking the position of a teacher of young is not one that should be taken lightly. But the individual who takes this role, with its responsibility, the nobility of that role cannot be understated. For we all know the primary school rebbers, the primary school teachers, and high school rebbers and teachers, who really have taken that responsibility and have made it their job that each child should be a mission of its own to them, and they delve into the nature of that child. Because often, in a talk like this, it's easy to criticize and easy to put down things how and describe how they should be, without pointing out that there are those in the trenches, there are those who are working tirelessly to live up to this expectation. Those men and women in primary schools, in high schools, and in post-high school youth programs. So to recap this idea, this calling from a 19th century educator, from a 19th century rabbi of a community and the master of a school, the calling to parents to take note, to take inspiration, to take warning from our forefathers and our foremothers, to live out our lives and not follow this pattern, to bring up our children and teaching them and being there for them that it is in line with what they need, not forcibly imposing a certain structure. And to recognize that this isn't a concession. No, it is rooted in the biblical narrative that the idea of multiple ways of living out the mission of the Jew are part of the game, are part of the deal, as illustrated by the later generation of Yaakov. That this idea of one size fits all isn't a cliche. It is a calling from our forefathers from all those years ago. The way of Judaism breaks up like a light going through a prism, but it comes through one prism and it is aiming at a certain goal. That was given over by Yaakov, and that calling from Rav Hirsch is that we take that message, we take that warning that we received from Yitzchak and how his children were brought up, and we take example from Yaakov and how he brought up his children. Thank you very much for listening and have a wonderful Shabbos.